You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and RadioReverb.com online. Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. Do contact us on thehiv@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at HIV_hour. Or listen and subscribe to our HIV Hour podcasts, iTunes, Deezer and Spotify. Just type in HIV Hour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again 4 p.m. on the Monday and Tuesday at noon, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com.
Radio Reverb 97.2.
Hi everybody, another week has gone by, another week closer to our freedom. That sounds a bit sort of awful, doesn't it?
Week closer to Christmas.
Do you know what? But you know, we're nearly at the end of March. I'm not rushing the month away, but I mean, how are you feeling? How are you feeling, Tony? Are you feeling optimistic?
I feel that, yes, pass. I'm not sure, really.
It's one of those things,
isn't it? You don't know. There's so many new strains and stuff coming up.
I know.
I just want people, I live in Worthing, and people in Worthing are just hoarding down the seafront, and it just drives me mad.
I've seen it, actually. How about you, Steve? How are you feeling about, hopefully we might be at the end of what's been going on for so long?
Yeah, I've kind of, obviously, my background is theatre, and everybody was sent home in March of last year, and it's just, to see theatres open again, Sue, is just that'll be when I know things are getting back to normal, so it's I'm hopeful every day that day will be getting closer.
Yeah, and we have to have that hope. I mean, if we haven't got hope, what's the point? So let's just hope and fingers crossed. But until that happens, we've still got another great show, haven't we, guys? But let me just sort of say something to our listeners. We've just been talking about this before we came online, and we've managed, I don't know whether you realise, guys, we've managed all through lockdown to put on a show every other week. On Radio Reverb for the HIV Hour, and it's been fairly challenging getting used to Zoom video call, and some of it's gone wrong and some of it's gone right. Mm-hmm. But we have pursued, Josh, Tony, Stephen, we've all tried to put on a show for everybody. So what we've decided to do, this will be our live show until the 15th of April. So 15th of April will be our next live show. So our dear listeners, still please do tune in. We're going to have some fabulous playbacks to some of the fabulous shows we've done throughout the year. So do still tune in. And we're really going to kick off with a really big show on the 15th of April. We're going to be doing a feature on trans, and we've got some fabulous, fabulous interviews and features lined up. So, please do tune in on the 15th. But hey, Tony, what's happening on this week's show? What you got?
Speaking to Linda Palmer from Metro Charity from London. She supports people in West Sussex and East Sussex. And she's been really a torchbearer for benefit claims, like housing, like getting meals delivered, things like that. She's an amazing lady. And she really helped me when I was going through my issues when my back broke. So she really helped me out. So she's an amazing lady. And I think it just wanted to give her a bit of recognition of all the stuff she does for everyone in West Sussex and East Sussex.
Brilliant. Look forward to that. And Stephen, what's on the cards for you today?
So for me, I have done an interview with Eugene Lynch, and Eugene's got a couple of hats. First of all, he has a company called Eugene's Lab, and they have made a candle, a La candle. So obviously, from It's a Sin, So they've capital that's been raising money for THT. And he also is works, as you know, Sue, with yourself on Positive Voices. So he's just going to tell us a bit more about what Positive Voices actually is and what the service does for people.
Brilliant. Look forward to that as well. And I've got a lovely little one. It's I'm going to be talking about how dogs in particular can really sort of heal people with HIV. But, you know, when we talk about dogs, we're talking about all animals. But this particular feature, it's a doctor there in he's from the States in Chicago, and he has got together to produce a book. When Dogs Heal, and it talks about lots and lots of different little stories about people that have gone, you know, living with HIV and found, you know, that their four-legged friend has literally saved them in some of the stories. So I'm going to be talking about the work that he's done before that. And obviously, I'm going to be touching on some of those stories. But, you know, this is another shout out for one of the features we would like to do on the show. You know, we know, you know, and I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, I believe we are a nation of animal lovers, you know, whether it's our four-legged canine or our pussycats galore or our budgerigards or whatever animal that gives you solace and peace and you know is good for your mental health. So, you know, if anyone would like to perhaps come on the show or even send a little recording on how living with HIV and having a pet has really got them through, even this last year where it's been incredibly challenging, more so, you know, in the situation we've all been put in, we would love to hear from you. And how can people get in touch, Tony?
Either go on our Facebook page or go just email us thehivhour@gmail.com.
Brilliant. So we've got some brilliant music. So another great show and another lot of great music. So so we'll see you all again after this show on the 15th, and we'll see you soon. Take care, enjoy the show.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Hey guys, it's Tony from the HIV Hour, and I have the pleasure of talking to Linda Palmer from Metro Charity in London. Now, Metro have been very instrumental in supporting us over in West Sussex, and Linda does an amazing job. Hey Linda, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks Tony.
Good. I just wanted to sort of, we need to highlight though the people that who have been instrumental in supporting positive people throughout West Sussex, and you are one of the people that are a superstar basically. You've certainly helped me in the past and you continue to support me, and I know there are loads of people from the Worthing Hub that you support single-handed down here in West Sussex. So tell us a bit about you.
Well, I've been working in this role now for must be over 10 years.
Okay.
And we work very closely with the community nursing team down here, the HIV specialist service.
Yeah.
And what we provide in West Sussex is a pretty broad range of support for people. So we will help people with benefits, yep, with letters, entitlements, advice, advocacy. We help people with housing,
yep,
debt problems, really those day-to-day things that absolutely terrify a lot of people.
Totally.
So, yes, we're normally working on an outreach, okay, basis, but obviously COVID's made that incredibly difficult at the moment.
100%, yeah.
That we haven't been able to see people face to face. But we have managed to work around that, I think, pretty much. We're okay. Still here, we're on the phone. Always happy to talk to someone, talk any problems through.
Yeah, and you do like Zoom calls, don't you, with people? So if they have got letters they need help with, you can do a Zoom call so you can look at the paper or whatever, and you can, you know, help people write out what they need to do. So
yes, we're here to support, you know, if needs be, if they can get the form to me sort of by post or email. Okay. Then I'm happy to go through it and help them fill it in. And we can, like you say, use FaceTime, Zoom, Teams. We, you know, access to anything like that. So I do appreciate it is quite challenging for people that don't have access to the technology.
Totally, yeah. I mean, I know with the Hub, we've got a few people that just literally have mobiles. They don't do the Zoom for the virtual Hubs, and they don't do, like we do a quiz on a Sunday, for example, and they just don't have WhatsApp and things like that. So it is a challenge for those people. How do you go about getting past all that? Do you just have to go through it on the phone with them and basically do that? Or how do you get past that?
Well, the phone is obviously one way around it. Mm. What I have done is I've asked people to leave post on their doorstep. Perfect. So I've literally driven, picked up the post, and then sat in my car and gone through it with them on the phone.
Oh,
but
that's amazing.
Obviously try not to do that too much if we can get round it, because obviously it's very time consuming.
Yeah.
But yeah, in worst case scenarios, that is what I've done.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, I know like various people that have, you know, got advice from you, and or you know, you've always got, and not sometimes there's not an answer, but sometimes there's a process you need to go to, and because of your experience you just know those processes.
I think over the last 10 years I pretty much know where to go for what.
Yeah,
so you know that knowledge is obviously a great resource. We can't solve everybody's problems, you know. Sometimes I really wish I had a magic wand, but it's not possible. But what we can do is point people in the right direction.
Okay.
If their problem is not something that I can solve, I'd know where to signpost them onto to another organisation, perhaps with more specialist knowledge.
Okay.
And again, we can support people accessing those services as well.
Okay. So if someone wants to get, for example, if someone's got like a benefit problem or they've got a PIP inquiry and they're positive, so that how do they get hold of you? Is it the metrocharity.org.uk?
Down here, I mean, Metro's mainly a London-based charity, and there's only myself and Sue Urshad in the north that cover West Sussex. Okay, I would suggest my phone number, my work phone, which is 07783 978 367.
Okay.
Or they can go to the Zachary Merton number, which
is,
I've just lost
it. 01903 858 044. That's Zachary Merton.
That's it, yeah. Thank you.
There is a Rowlands Road clinic in Worthing, if you live in the Worthing area. Zachary Merton is Rustington. Central Clinic in Worthing is 01903 285 199. So what's the future for like services, like going past COVID? Are you going to start seeing people, and you know, once it's safe and things like that?
Yeah, I am really just waiting now for the go ahead to be able to go back out and start to see people again face to face. Now that numbers are coming down, obviously, of infections and deaths, and more people are getting vaccinated, which obviously offers some protection. So really I'm just waiting for Metro to update me on that when normality can resume.
Absolutely.
And I'll be once again back out on the road and able to see people.
It's been a really hard year, isn't it, for, you know, not only us as positive people, but everybody. Plus, it's been hard because, you know, you started your job to be out and supporting people and seeing people, and this is not like, this is not ideal for you, is it? You want to be out there helping people. You're still helping people, but you want to be out there talking to them, seeing them face to face. So this must have been really hard.
Yeah, it has been really difficult, I think, for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, trying to be creative, trying to work around things, still trying to be able to support people, but under really difficult circumstances.
Totally, yeah.
It has been very challenging.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's had a huge impact on people's mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have felt a lot more isolated.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think even coming out of it, there's, you know, there are going to be challenges.
I think even re-engage for a lot
of people with what you might call normal life.
Yeah, totally. I was going to say that, you know, I see people on a Friday delivering food for Lunch Positive and the Weathering Hub, but I see people, but it's sort of like, right, there's your food, got to go by. And it's almost like those people want to talk, and, you know, you can talk, you know, we can talk on the phone or anything, but it's not the same, is it? It's not the same as seeing someone.
It's not, and a lot of people have said that to me, that, yes, they know I'm there, yes, you know, I'm happy to talk to people, and they can still come to me for that advice and support.
Yeah.
But it really is just not the same as actually physically seeing another human being.
No, you're right. Totally right. Totally right.
So I think, yes, it has had a big impact on people.
It has, you're right. But you are an absolute amazing little superstar. And I know personally, as I said earlier, you've helped me so much. And just wanted to say thank you, and I know everyone you speak to and have interaction with, you know, I know they will want to thank you. So thank you so much for coming on the radio today, and thank you so much for just chatting with me about, you know, future plans and what you've been doing during COVID. I really appreciate that, Linda.
That's lovely, Tony. Thank you so much for those kind words. I think everyone needs to feel a little appreciated in these tough times.
Totally, absolutely.
Yeah, I look forward to lockdown easing and actually being able to see people again. Very much so.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Linda. You're an absolute legend. Take care. Thank you.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Listen. 97.2 FM.
Radio Reverb.
So hello, everybody, and it's great to be back. This week, I am interviewing Eugene Leach. Now, Eugene has a company called Eugene's Lab, and we're going to talk a bit about that and a bit about positive voices, which is something else that both Eugene and I are involved in. So welcome to the HIV Hour, Eugene.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
You're very welcome. So, Eugene, you have a company called Eugene's Lab. Eugene's Lab produces premium hand sanitizer, organic liquid hand soap, vegan lip balm, to name a few things. Could you tell us where the idea of you know, what the background of the company is and why you did what you did?
Sure. It's something that really, I guess, came out of the pandemic in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a year ago, sort of February, March 2020, when I realized that you know, hand sanitizer was going to run out pretty quickly. And I tried to go about finding out how to make some of my own. And I was at a point where I'd had issues in the past with addiction and alcoholism, and I didn't want something that smelled really strongly of alcohol.
Yeah.
So I developed a hand sanitizer that was both safe and effective, so above 70% alcohol, but also smelled quite nice. And that was kind of my aim. And initially, I provided that to local charities that were doing kind of deliveries to old people and that sort of thing during the first lockdown. And people really liked it. So I thought, well, I could develop this into a business. And that's kind of where it all started.
Okay. So, you know, I mentioned a couple of the products that you make. Something that everybody, unless you're living under a rock, you will know what La is all about. And La is, if you don't know, it's the phrase that was used in It's a Sin, and it was the gang from the Pink Palace. They said La when they were saying hello, they said La when they were saying goodbye. It was a kind of greeting between these group of friends. And the Mayor of Lambeth, Philip Normal, produced a T-shirt with the LAR slogan on it. And a portion of that money goes to the Terence Higgins Trust. Now, somebody else has now produced a candle with the LA slogan on it, and that is you, Eugene's Lab. So, Eugene, tell us, why did you feel that it was important to do this?
I've been working on scented candles for a couple of years, actually, and people, when they kind of smell the hand sanitizer I was making, said things like, you know, this would be good as a room spray or as a candle. So I started developing it into a candle a while ago. And when the opportunity came up to kind of produce a LA product, I jumped at it because I was really inspired by Philip Normal's T-shirt. I've got two of them and I bought one of his tote bags. I think they're fantastic. And I thought, well, how can I do something that helps the Terence Higgins Trust, which is an organisation that's helped me in the past personally, and an organisation that I've been doing some fundraising for a couple of years now. Anyone who's gone along to the Terence Higgins Trust Eurovision quiz will have answered the questions that I put together for that before. And, you know, I've done a few things like that. And I thought, well, this would be a good way of bringing together the kind of fundraising for THT and the whole kind of LA phenomenon, and also what I'm doing in terms of my business as well. And, you know, it's a great way of giving back to an organisation that that really helps people.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it, how the LA thing has become a complete phenomenon.
No, absolutely. And, you know, what Philip Normal has done is absolutely fantastic in terms of just the amount of money he's raised. But also, you know, he runs a small business. Getting the number of orders he did and the amount of time he did must have sent his stress levels to the roof. And he's managed to, you know, develop, along with some help, the capacity to be able to deliver thousands of T-shirts every week. So, you know, I'm totally in awe of what he's been able to do. Fortunately, I've had a very manageable number of orders so far for candles, and I've got a bit of a stock built up now. So, you know, I'm able to get those into the post when people order them. But yeah, what Philip has done, both in terms of the amount of money raised and just logistically, is really, really impressive.
Yeah, it's great to see these T-shirts and the bags all over social media. Yeah, it's just really good to see. So you mentioned Terence Higgins Trust, Eugene, and something that both Eugene and I are connected with the Terence Higgins Trust is the Positive Voices Project. Now, a lot of people might not know about the Positive Voices, so could you tell us what it is?
Sure. So Positive Voices is a group of volunteer speakers who go and speak to groups like schools, like businesses that have, you know, a meeting or something like that, and other organizations like healthcare organizations and others, and basically tell their story of living with HIV in their own words. So there's an element of every Positive Voices talk where we talk about, you know, the statistics and the facts and figures about living with HIV in the UK today. But the thing that really kind of resonates with people is hearing people's individual stories. And a lot of our stories, unfortunately, in many ways, involve a lot of stigma, whether that's, you know, stigma people experience externally from others or self-stigma. And one of the things that the Terence Higgins Trust is trying to do, and also the government has signed up to, is this idea of eliminating HIV transmission from person to person by 2030. But we're also trying to eliminate HIV stigma. And Positive Voices is a really good way of getting people to understand what the issues are around the stigma associated with HIV. And then, you know, through that kind of understanding, tackling that stigma. So it's something that I signed up for about 6 months ago at this point. I started speaking towards the end of last year. And when the opportunity came up actually take a role as a member of staff, I jumped at it. And fortunately, I started that job at the end of January. So I've been in the job as Senior Positive Voices Coordinator for the Terence Higgins Trust. It's a 3 days a week job for about the last kind of 6 weeks or so.
Right. So I think you know, speaking from my own experience of doing YouTube and talking about living with HIV and having had my one-man show in New York, the power of somebody's story is unbelievable. It really, the way that it can touch people and the way that it can affect people is a real, you know, it's a real gift to be able to do that for somebody. And I think with Positive Voices, it's another way of doing that, isn't it? You know, it's another way of saying, look, I'm here and I'm standing in front of you and I've got HIV and I'm not any different, you know. So I think there's a real power in our stories, isn't there?
Absolutely. I think it, you know, there's a real powerful message that comes from each of the volunteers' stories, and each one is, you know, different, but there are themes I think you can pick out from quite a few people's stories. And, you know, I can certainly speak from my own experience. You know, if I go back 2.5 years, there were probably, I could count on the fingers of one hand how many people I had disclosed my HIV status to. And for me, you know, this time about 2.5 years ago, I was in a very dark place. I was quite isolated. I was in a job that I, you know, wasn't able to go to anymore. I was anxious. I was having panic attacks. I was taking a lot of drugs, drinking a lot, trying to deal with all of that anxiety. And for me, it's been a huge transformation from then. I initially contacted the Terence Higgins Trust for counselling and support. I ended up getting into treatment for addiction and that sort of thing. And I'm now in a position where I'm able to kind of give back and work with the charity. But, you know, going in 2.5 years from, you know, not wanting to tell anyone about my status and trying to keep it a secret, and now sort of almost singing from the rooftops about,
yeah.
about you know, living with HIV and what it means to people, and hearing the stories of you know, some like really interesting, you know, volunteers. It's a real privilege and a real gift to be able to hear that. And when we see from the feedback we get from audiences, when they hear the personal stories of people and their experience of HIV stigma, it really is eye-opening for people. And it really helps to break down a lot of those barriers.
Yeah.
It helps both the person who's listening to the story and, in my experience, also the person who's telling it. The power of it is massive.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that definitely. Now, Positive Voices before us has had a lot of wonderful volunteers who have come in and told their stories, and currently has a lot of wonderful speakers. But we are looking, aren't we, you know, at what more we can do, you know, what more Positive Voices can be. I know it's very early stages at the moment, Eugene, but could you tell us a bit about what we're thinking about in that sense?
Sure. Yeah. So my role is it's both part time and fixed term, as in I'm going to be in the role for about a year or so in the current round of funding and that sort of thing. And my role is really about how do we transform Positive Voices so that it delivers what it is our speakers want, but also what the organization Terence Higgins Trust wants to bring to people. And there's all of this is volunteer led and volunteer driven. So our speakers have been really, really great at engaging with where they want to take things next. So we're developing it along certain themes. And one of the themes that emerged quite early on, and we've already done some development around, is kind of frontline health and care experiences.
Yeah.
And we want to be able to go to people who work in frontline health and care jobs and say that, you know, various different people in our group, various different volunteers have had experiences that are, let's say, less than ideal when they've been, you know, going for, let's say, you know, dentistry or going for surgery or something like that.
And
they have like individual stories of poor experiences when disclosing their HIV status and things that, you know, shouldn't happen. Have happened, and what we want to do is be able to go to people who might be on the receiving end of one of those disclosures, I'd be able to say to them, well, this is how, you know, this is what you need to know. And this is how you could have a conversation around this in a way that is both, you know, sensitive to the person and also, you know, you're equipped to know everything that you need to know in that kind of scenario. It's relatively straightforward to get it right, but once you get it wrong, it can have devastating effects on an individual. And our speakers who have stories of when it goes wrong, you know, have some really powerful examples of why it's so important to get those kinds of interactions right.
If anybody wants to know more about Positive Voices, is the information on the Terence Higgins website?
Yeah, probably the easiest way to find it is if you Google Terence Higgins Trust Positive Voices, but it's thd.org.uk/positive-voices. We've got a contact form there if anybody wants to get in touch. And I think there's an email address on that webpage as well that you can message and come straight through to us. If people have any questions or they want to book a talk or anything like that, they can get in touch with us via that form.
Great, great, great. And you might see you and me doing the talk, mightn't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That could be one of us.
Yeah. And lastly, if anybody wants to get one of the La candles, Eugene, could you tell us where they can get them from?
Sure, yeah. If you go to eugeneslab.com, so eugeneslab, all one word, .com, you'll basically get a pop-up and the candles will be the first thing you see.
Great. And I understand that they're limited edition. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm making 100 of each of the fragrances, once they're gone, they're gone. So get in quickly.
So you heard it from the boss himself. Once they're gone, they're gone. So so get in there and get your La candles. And again, a portion of the funds from that will go to Terence Higgins Trust. So thank you so much for doing this, Eugene. It's been really interesting to talk to you, and I know our viewers will they have either something to think about with Positive Voices or with getting some of your products. So thank you very much for coming onto the HIV Hour.
Thanks so much.
Now, I don't know about you, but I believe we are a nation of animal lovers. Now, a new study, which has been recently published in the state, Chicago, suggests that dog ownership reduces the likelihood of depression, which can help confer long-term health benefits on people living with HIV. Now, HIV patients are about twice as likely to be depressed as people who are HIV negative. Now, this is according to the report. This can be problematic because depression often leads to reduced adherence to the life-saving medication we need to take every day. Now, we know that stigma is still very, very real for many people affected by HIV, and that the stigma can lead to feelings of isolation, loneliness or depression. Now, while, you know, doctors cannot readily write a prescription for a dog for their patients, this study suggests that dog ownership or aspects of unconditional love and social engagement that may come with having a pet could be beneficial to patients who are isolated or depressed as a result of their HIV infection. Now, this particular doctor, his name is Dr. Robert Gafola, who took part in that study. He has dedicated his career to helping people with HIV. But when he was diagnosed with the virus himself about a decade ago, he was devastated. Despite years of telling his patients that they'd be okay after their diagnosis, it was an entirely other beast for the adolescent HIV specialist to grapple with his own diagnosis. Now, he went through the darkest period of his life, he says. He now credits his decision to get a dog with saving his life. He goes on to talk about his little pound of goodness just resurrected peace and joy in his life and made me want to give back to the community I care about. So together with his friend, award-winning journalist Zach Stafford, they put together an amazing book, which is called When Dogs Heal, and I'm sure you can find that on Amazon. And it became a personal project that took years to make, to tell these intimate yet complex stories of people across the country. And what they found through the process was that a HIV diagnosis wasn't a death sentence, and it was potentially to move on beyond the stigma often surrounding the virus, and that loving someone, even a dog, can be radical, they said. Now, these are just some of the stories, and there's some amazing stories in this book they've put together. Adam Chan, 35, who uses they, them pronouns, participated in queer youth programs. So they knew to get routinely tested and how to talk with their partners. But when a partner did not disclose that he had HIV, Chan, then 22, was left holding a nurse's hand, crying in disbelief, as she told Chan that their HIV test came back positive. Now, after sharing the news with their parents, Chan was ostracised and uninvited to family gatherings. But they were shocked by the reaction. Chan is aware there's a cultural disconnect since their parents are immigrants. Their mother is from Burma and their father is from China. They grow up with cultural ideas from Asia, with the 1970s sex ed in America. Now, Chan told NBC News, for non-native language speakers, did any of that even get absorbed? Though their relationship would eventually mend, Chan found comfort in Lila, a rescue pit bull mix who enjoyed nuzzling her head in their pillow. The routine of talking, taking Layla out on walks and caring for her every day, paired with Layla's unconditional love, helped them with their mental health. As Chan struggled with their HIV medication, they felt comfortable by Layla's presence. Chan recalls one night during their first night, their first week of using the medication, where he experienced such dizziness as the side effects from the medication that he had to crawl to the bathroom. Now, Chan noticed their dog following close by. Layla was literally walking next to me and would not leave my side, he said. Now, Amador Zepeda, 33, met his four-legged friend while cleaning the limousine home of one of his friend's clients. Now, Bella was a Pomeranian who never wanted to leave his side. Now, the day the owner noticed that he had to move to a nursing home, she wanted Zepeda to have Bella. But one evening while at work in 2016, Zabida's body ached and he had a high fever and he had to decide to go home. Looking back, he said, he thinks he was seroconverting, which is the transition from HIV infection to the virus detectable present in the blood. Now, upon entering his home, he was shocked to find his partner being intimate with other people. So they broke up. They stayed in the apartment, and for a couple of weeks yet, when arguments issued, Zepeda said his partner would become violent and neighbours complained, and they were soon evicted, leaving him and Bella, the Pomeranian, homeless and living in a car for 6 months. Now, still feeling unwell, he went to the clinic where he found out about his diagnosis, and sitting in the parking lot, Zepeda said he contemplated suicide. I felt really alone, but Bella just put her paw on top of my hand to comfort me. She knew something was wrong, he told NBC News. It hit me. Man, what's going on? What's going to happen to Bella? And that's when I started thinking, I couldn't do that. I have to get better. So a Chicago organisation helped the two find a home and created a routine with Bella. Helped him to take his medication, make him a meaningful living. Nazarpeda also felt empowered after creating a series on Facebook videos to educate his Latino family and friends about HIV. I felt sad about how there wasn't really anything out there for the gay community, especially for the Latino community, he said, about living in Chicago suburbs. For me, the way I was able to give back was through my videos and sharing what I knew, he said. And if you want to read many more of these wonderful, inspirational stories, you can, I believe it's Amazon, and the book is called When Dogs Heal. I mean, I know the HIV, we're talking about doing perhaps a feature on the show, and not just dogs. I mean, dogs are wonderful and lovely, and but what about all those other lovely animals that are our saving grace, as one would say? You know, we want to hear your animal stories, you know, whether it's a budgerigar, whether it's, you know, you keep a cockatoo in on the back porch or something that has given you that reason, that sense of being, that sense of belonging and that sense of love. And we want to hear those stories. So if you've got any animal stories, we would love to hear them. You can send in a recording. You can email us on thehivhour@gmail.com.
Radio Reverb. 97.2 FM.
I have more pets than I can count. I keep honeybees. About 10 years ago, I suffered from reduced mobility and some health problems, which meant I couldn't go outside and enjoy the countryside like I used to. So beekeeping was very much in vogue, and I wanted to have a hobby that kept me in the countryside during the summer months. So I keep bees. I find it very rewarding. You have to be calm to have bees. They seem to respond to your mood. If you're nervous or trying to rush things, they get agitated by sort of vibrations and bangs and noises, so you have to be very calm when you approach them and work with them gently. I find them very rewarding to keep. They keep themselves, mostly, like insects do, but it's, as a beekeeper, it's our job to keep them healthy and disease-free as far as possible. I don't really keep bees for honey, although honey is a nice reward for keeping them healthy and strong, and I do take some honey and that helps, and I sell a little bit of it to sell to pay for my hobby. I know that there are other HIV positive beekeepers around in Sussex in the Brighton area, and you don't need a garden of your own to keep bees. The local club association has sites within the Brighton and Sussex area where you can keep bees. You can keep bees on a roof, you can keep them in other people's gardens, you can have people with allotments can keep them. But it's a nice hobby and pet to have during the summer months. It keeps you busy. You know, at least once a week you should be going out and checking on them in nice, sunny, warm weather. And during the winter months, when the weather's not quite so nice, you can just take it easy. So I find them a very calming and rewarding hobby to keep, as a pet. They respond well if you look after them well. They don't give you affection, I suppose, because they're an insect and they're not like a mammal, like a cat or a dog or a giraffe, as your post suggests. But I find them rewarding to keep nonetheless. And I hope that it helps me with anxieties and coping with depression and things like that.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.